another wonderful episode of Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast. This is episode number 5, and tonight's guest, I am ecstatic, is WWE Hall of Fame Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Hey, how you doing tonight, Big Country? I know you're on the line with me, brother.
Doing really good, Nugs. Just trying to get over this weekend. Had a pretty serious battle with James Drake, and let's just say I lost probably about half my body weight in blood. So, but I'm stoked for
good
tonight.
Lord.
You know, I've watched Hacksaw Jim Duggan as a child, and I've been in the ring with the man on, I believe, 3 separate occasions. So I'm really looking forward to tonight.
Oh, it's going to be a great evening. Hacksaw, anytime I've ever got a chance to talk to him in person, he is a great guy. He is a great personality, and I think he's going to be candid with us and tell us some great stories. I'm sure it's going to be a great night. Next week, we got Mr. Mid-Atlantic Damian Wayne, AIWF heavyweight champion coming in, former NWA national champion. That's going to be a great interview. Then the week after that, to start out the first of the month, is none other than Four Horsemen manager herself, Nicola Roberts, known as to the world as Baby Doll. Everyone knows Baby Doll. She's Jake the Snake Roberts' sister-in-law. She was married to Sam Houston. She managed Ric Flair. She managed Tully Blanchard. I mean, the list goes on and on. She is, you know, when you talk about Mid-Atlantic wrestling, she could talk about it better than anybody can. And, of course, she was second generation wrestling. Her daughter is third generation wrestling. I mean, it's phenomenal. So that's going to be, I'm really looking forward to that interview as well. And she's a real good friend of mine, so we ought to have a great interview with her. I was out in Fuquay Arena this past weekend. I thought it was an episode of The Little Rascals or something, Fuquay Arena, but no, it's really a town. And for gouge wrestling, for Count Grog, I don't know if you ever met Count Grog, but I'll tell you, he's something else, and then we had a great show out there. And managed Damian Wayne against, what's his name, Timmy Lou Retton.
Lou Retton.
And that guy is something else. That was a very eventful match, and we had a great match. And before that, we were at a battle royal. I got to meet Otto Swantz in person. I told you, I'm a big Otto Swantz mark. I'll be the first one to admit it. I even told him that. I said, I've been watching you since the LAW Law wrestling days. I said, when you were out there with Rollo. He goes, really? You remember that? I was like, yeah, man. I said, I remember like it was yesterday. I said, I remember Rollo finally spoke. I said, everyone thought he was going to be a hillbilly because I was dressed. I said, and he had a Australian accent. And so I say, it's a very good show tonight. Why wouldn't you think I would talk good? My name is Rollo. And he goes, like, he goes, you still remember that? I said, yes. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. So, big event out there. It was inside a brewery, and that place was packed. Got a chance to taste some of their own brewery for Oktoberfest, and that was quite lovely. And so I had a good time this weekend. I'm looking forward to having this weekend off. I mean, Damian Wayne's booked on a triple shot in Tennessee, but the way with the weather, they're talking about we're going to get weather this weekend, bad weather. I don't think I'm going to try to attempt to go to Tennessee. They're talking about 75% chance of snow in Charlotte, so it ought to be a pretty rough weekend as far as weather goes. But
weather permitting, I'll be going up to Hickory to Milestone Wrestling, and I will be challenging their Milestone Heavyweight Champion for his belt. So hopefully that comes out on a good end.
That'll be a great weekend for a great event. Unfortunately, we had a wrestler die over the weekend. Iron Mike Sharp. I don't know if you remember Iron Mike Sharp. Always had the leather arm band on his protective gear on his arm, and he would go and whack the rope with it and set up the gimmick, you know, and give someone a good whack over the head. Shades of Bob Orton when that arm was hurt for 6 months and a year and went 3 years and went to a career. But he was always a great heel, if you ask me. Was always one of those guys that was brought out there to make the other talent look good. So, I mean, he would do the job, and he'd do it in style and class. I used to love him as a heel. So, If we had a bell sound, we'd do a 10-bell salute, but we don't. But we could just have a moment of silence for him. Okay, that's enough because I know he's ready to rock and roll wherever he's at. So, Iron Mike Sharp, he passed away. I don't think I didn't remember you, Iron Mike Sharp, wherever you're at, brother. Looking down or looking up. Hey, we work in pro wrestling. I don't know how we might be. So that's going to be a great show. I can't wait to talk to Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Like I said, I got phenomenal guests booked, lined up all the way for a couple of months. And I can't talk about other podcasts out here on the air, but when it comes to talent and having some great guests on the show, we could definitely say that we have some great ones on this show. So.
And not just great guests, but I think great podcasters, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, we're doing a great job. I think we're getting a hang of this. I mean, this is only our fifth episode, and I'm going to tell you something, not bragging on ourselves, but people are starting to listen, not only in the wrestling, where the wrestlers are listening, they're giving us respect and saying they like the podcast. The fans are listening now, and it's not they're not listening live so much. I guess they don't catch it live, but the playback and the downloads on iTunes and the playback on Blog Talk has been phenomenal. I'll show it to you one day, man. It looks like peaks and valleys when you look in the stats. And right now we're at a peak right now, man. If we were snowboarding, we'd be having a ball right now with our statistics. It's on our point right now, so we're doing a good thing right now. We don't want it to go down. We want to keep going up.
Well, but, you got the greatest manager in the Indies and a guy who has been doing it for 10 years, and you know, I'd like to say I have a pretty good mind for the business, you know. It's a little bit different,
yeah.
You know. We know what we're talking about. We know what to ask. We know, you know, we know how to do our thing, and you know, we're not just somebody who just wants to know people and, you know, be a fan. You know, we are fans, but we also know what we're doing.
I had a good friend of mine. I'll say his name. Stephen Fry sent me a picture from another podcaster's wall. I'm not going to say the guy's name, but the quote was, I don't have a girlfriend, I don't have my own car, I don't have my own place to live, but I've got pro wrestling. And I sent back to my brother, I said, I bet she masturbates to it. Pathetic, brother, pathetic. I love pro wrestling, but man, I'm trying to have a social life outside of it.
You know, we get to experience pro wrestling from a different side of the ring than the other guy does. So, you know, I think we have a better, you know, outlook.
Our show is taking off, and he's still down there in the dust. So, I mean, enough of that. But I just thought it was pretty funny. It's cracking me up. That guy's funny. But one day we'll bring him back on the show and show him how to host a show. Enough is enough. But it ought to be a great show tonight. See what else is going on. Didn't give another woman a heart attack this weekend, but I got to work with a guy by the name of Juan Jeremy. I don't know if you've ever seen Juan Jeremy. This guy's he's a fact. Tub of shit with big hair and a big mustache and looks like Ron Jeremy, the porn star. And the guy, I was backstage. This is a little funny rib, like a little backstage story I could tell. I'm backstage and he says, "Nuts, what?" I said, "Turn around." I said, "What?" He goes, "Look, this guy's got his freaking pants, his shorts stuffed." And he goes, "What do you think?" I said, "Looks like you're carrying a baby down there." I said, "Don't hurt nobody with it." But I give it to him, the guy's a gimmick. I mean, I don't think I would do that gimmick, but the guy's a gimmick, and I definitely remembered him. I didn't remember a lot of other wrestlers' names that night, but I remembered Juan Jeremy. So.
Well, you know, that's what's missing in this sport nowadays. Everybody thinks it's all about, you know, how many flips you can do. You know, it's just like we always say, you know, there's a place for the acrobatics and all that stuff, but sometimes people just want to sit down and have a good time and be able to, like, look at the guy in the ring and be like, you know, I can relate. And be able to laugh and, you know, just enjoy themselves. You know, not worry about, oh, my God, I need to move out of the way because the guy's about to flip over the ropes and land on me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. The guy had a good character. I mean, he was out there. His trunks had palm leaves all over him, so he looked like he was a porn star, and it was pretty entertaining. And then, of course, we got to wrestle against a gymnast. I don't know if you ever wrestled against a gymnast, man. He was doing backflips, somersaults, kip ups, round the world, jumping off the top ropes, man. He was phenomenal. I'll give it to him. He's got that flipping stuff down.
Well, that's one thing about Timmy Lou. He's not just he didn't just come up with a gymnast gimmick. He actually is a gymnast. You know, kind of like Kurt Angle. You know, he wasn't just a Olympic gold medalist because he put on a gold medal and said he'd won it in the Olympics. He actually did it. You know.
Yeah, definitely. And I see what else. Oh, I got a chance to actually sit down and watch some WWE Network. Not putting over the. I'm gonna tell you, Next did some good shit, man. I got a chance to see what was I forget her name. She's the cousin of the Wild Samoans. It's a lady wrestler. She's a big mamma jamma.
What's her name? Tamina.
She wrestled Bailey. Great match. And then the other girl, you probably know her, red hair. They brought her in from Japan. She's playing. She's a face, but she's
freaking
crazy.
Oh, I know
who
you're talking about. You're talking
acting.
About that. You're talking about Nia Jax. Yeah, that's
yeah,
I was thinking
yeah,
of
yeah.
Tamina. She's Tim Snuka's daughter. No, yeah, you're talking about her and Asuka.
Yeah.
Asuka's phenomenal, dude.
Yeah. I tell you, that makes me want to watch again. And they're smart. They're throwing it on the network, which makes me have to pay $9.99 a month to watch the Next. But Next is something phenomenal. I was watching the pay-per-view out of the UK that they had, and that was really good stuff. I was really impressed. Then I watched this.
Oh, yeah.
I cut it off. There was what's this one tag team they got out? Guys are all, they're supposed to be from Italy. They got this hot chick named Carmella that walks to the ring to them. I don't remember the guy's name. I remember the chick, though, because she was hot.
Oh, that's Big Kaz, and I forget the other guy.
Yeah, he plays like an Italian pimp dude. Good gimmick.
Oh, they're entertaining as heck, man. I mean,
yeah, hopefully when they get their call up to the big show, they don't change their gimmick, because that's very entertaining. That made me like. I actually enjoyed watching pro wrestling again. I haven't done that in a while, so I don't know. Maybe
I'm telling you, man.
I give it to them. They're doing good stuff up there.
Well, one of the biggest reasons why I watch NXT right now is formerly Stephen Walters, Dash Wilder, and Scott Dawson. They remind me of the Brainbusters, you know, or the Minnesota
right.
Wrecking Crew. You know, they're like I always said. Their motto is, we're not flips and tricks, we're fists and kicks. You know, they've brought back what tag team wrestling used to be. It's not about how many flips I can do to land on you. It's about picking a body part and tearing that thing apart. You know, quick tags in and out and doing their job. You know, going in there and just, you know, very rough and tough and, you know, just vicious, you know, like you should be. And, you know, it makes you proud that I've been able to share locker rooms with these guys. And now they're, you know, I really hope to see them on actual WWE programming here soon.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, and then I know our buddy John Schuyler, he went back down this weekend with Corey Hollis, so I hope they got some more time down there. So it's good to see some wrestlers here in the Carolinas actually getting a shot at the big show. Good for them.
Yeah, and I don't know if you remember Rich Swann. He's supposed to be down there also. You know,
oh, wow.
Good you know,
stuff.
Yeah.
We got a call coming in. Hopefully it's our guest for the night. Let's see. Okay, we got a call on the line. Is this Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Ho! How's it going, Joey? How you doing, brother?
Doing great. How are you tonight, sir?
Very good, man. Yeah, just enjoying time at home. Had a nice show this weekend up in Suwanee, Oklahoma with Jerry the King Lawler and Jim Ross, Papa Pump was there, and this coming weekend we're down in Miami for the Legends of Wrestling with Goldberg and Nash and Steiner again and Brodus Clay. The Nasty Boys is going to be like old home week.
Wow, wow. You're probably flying down because you need someone to drive. I'd drive you down there if I could hang out with all those guys.
Actually, me and the wife are flying down on Friday. It's at the Indian Casino, and they're going to show us a good time, and we're going to enjoy the nice weather because coming up in February, we have the 2x4 tour, the Hacksaw Jim Duggan show up in upstate New York in Massachusetts. So enjoy the good weather while we can.
Wow, that's phenomenal. The 2x4 tour. I like that. That's perfect for you.
Nothing fancy, Dan, about Hacksaw Duggan. And, you know, it's a positive look at professional wrestling. I have to obviously give Mick Foley credit for opening the door for this whole stand-up routine that so many guys are doing now. Jim Ross, Bischoff, of course, Jake the Snake, Ted DiBiase, myself. I think Mick was the first guy to do it. And it's not really comedy as in standing there telling funny jokes. It's more of stories about on the road with Jake and Damian, stories in the ring with Big Andre the Giant and Ultimate Warrior.
Nice.
Rib stories about Owen Hart and Bret Hart. a unique night for wrestling fans.
Phenomenal, phenomenal. And I'll tell you, as a wrestling fan and how big of a name like you are, you're an icon that crosses over into many genres. I mean, not just wrestling. People know you just as being who you are. So you're going to have fans come from all different directions into that. That's going to be phenomenal for you.
That generation of wrestling, the WWF guys, the Hogan, Macho, Junkyard Dog, Jake the Snake, Billion Dollar Man, people just tend to remember that era. It was kind of the golden age of wrestling. And, you know, I've done these shows all through Scotland and England, up in throughout the Toronto area and Canada. And just finished one recently in Nashville at Zany's. So there's quite a market for it. And folks, it's a good chance, you get to interact with the folks. You do a meet and greet and a question and answer. And folks ask some of the most intelligent questions. I mean, there's a lot of great students of professional wrestling out there.
Phenomenal, phenomenal. So when does that kick off exactly?
I'm glad you asked me that, brother. As I'm heading in, we'll get the complete date so I can give that a rundown. I'll go ahead and give the shot plug to my book. I just realized that my book got 3.6 out of a possible 5 stars. So I'm pretty happy with that. And that's Hacksaw the Jim Duggan story. Oh, yeah. Some guys like, again, Foley, who wrote many books, but that was my first. And it was a positive look at wrestling. That's kind of like my show is going to be. Because it's been a good business for me, I've been with my wife for 30 years. I never had to go to rehab for booze or drugs. There were no felony arrests. The most popular misdemeanor in history, but no felony arrest. It's been a good business for me. So that's my whole stint. I tell folks we're not all Scott Hall. We're not all my good friend Jake the Snake Roberts who struggled with drugs. It's been a fun, exciting business for me, and I like to share that with the people. But if I could, guys, I'll go ahead and run down the tour. It starts February 2nd. February 2nd up in Glens Falls, New York, my hometown. So looking forward to going back to my hometown. My sister still lives up in Glens Falls, and my shot put record from 1973 still stands today up in Glens Falls. I'm like, what a bunch of wimps up there. What's going on, right? But anyway, the third is Buffalo at Helium's. The fourth is in Albany. The fifth is Ithaca, New York. Saturday the 6th is in Rome, New York. The 7th is, of course, Super Bowl Sunday, but I'm going to be making an appearance at Sweet Jenny's in Buffalo, but the tour picks up again on the 9th in Boston, the 10th in Foxborough, 11th Watertown, New York, 12th Binghamton, New York, 13th Poughkeepsie, New York. So quite a run for us.
That's phenomenal, phenomenal. And I'm sure you're going to do great on it, and more tour dates will come on. You come down here in the Southeast, I know I'm going to get me ringside front row tickets to see that. That's phenomenal.
Well, the VIP experience, you know, it costs a little more, and, you know, but the more chance you get a picture and all that. And in some places, they're even doing a thing, dining with Duggan. We have a dinner together with a small group of people. So excited about it. Of course, all through upstate New York is my old, where I grew up. I'm from up Glens Falls area. So that first 2 weeks in February, I don't know how the weather's going to be.
You should. Hopefully the weather hold up good for you. You can go through all your dates.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be good. We'll dodge a bullet. And so we'll see how it goes. But for folks who want information, it's HacksawShow.com. And that gives you all the information. And we're looking at doing another run up in the whole Toronto area in April after WrestleMania. So this seems to be the way of the future. This and Comic-Cons for the WWF generation guys.
I think that is phenomenal that you're such an iconic figure and your popularity is so huge that you're able to, every weekend, you're someplace else around the world entertaining the fans still. And you haven't slowed down at all as far as I know, Jim. That's phenomenal.
Well, I work weekends now. You know, it's different. And, of course, as you know, I have two daughters. And now, like, I'm starting to slow down. My one daughter's out of school and stuff. But I still enjoy, like, this weekend, we were in a six-man tag out in Suwanee, Oklahoma. The building was jam-packed. The whole place was chanting, USA, USA. Everybody in the place was going, ho. You know, folks say, Hacksaw, you get tired of it. I said, get tired of it. It's my life's blood. I love it.
I got to ask you something, Jim. Where did the catchphrase ho come from?
Well, I tell folks, you know, one time I got this had this rough 2x4, and I got this big giant splinter in my thumb, and I held up my thumb, and I went, oh! No, that's a good story, though. I like that. I don't know where actually the hole came from. When I was mid-South, when I was a heel, I would just yell at the people, and they just would yell that back at me, and it just kind of evolved as a baby face. And it works out great. I always I bust Rick's chops, you know, Ric Flair. I go, woo! I'm like, Rick, are your trunks too tight or what? Woo! I don't get it.
Yeah, I think the ho is just more popular than the woo ever was.
No, I know. Flair's Flair. I give Rick all the credit. You know, one of the, if not the top five guys ever. Yeah, and, you know, it's good to see him out there, and his daughter's doing great. Most of the guys I get along with, and Rick is one of them.
Phenomenal. So how did you get started in wrestling?
I broke in Dallas, Texas, where I was playing my college football for Southern Methodist University. And just a fluke, I met Fritz Von Erich, and he's like, you might want to check that pro wrestling out. And I wasn't a wrestling fan at the time, and I was consumed with football. And I was like, thanks, but, you know, no thanks. And I went to the Falcons, the Atlanta Falcons, where I had two knee surgeries my rookie year. It kind of ended my football career. So I gave Fritz a call and started wrestling. And my first character was Big Jim Duggan. I had short hair and clean shaven, and I wore a long gold bathrobe to the ring. And as I went from Dallas, I went up home to New York, and my dad knew Arnie Skolin. I did a show for the old WWWF. I was a big guy, so they brought me down to TV to do jobs for Angelo Mosca, Ken Patera. Slaughter was there, so I went down, and Arnie Skolin and Vince McMahon Sr. called me, and they said, kid, you might have a future, but come up with something better than Big Jim and get rid of that gold bathrobe. So I evolved. I went through another character where I wore a mask over in Hawaii, because I went from New York to Hawaii, where I worked for Peter Maivia, the Rock's granddad. And I wore a mask over there, and I wrestled as a convict, and that didn't work. And I came back. I went to Georgia Championship Wrestling with Gordon Soley back in the day, and I wrestled as Big Jim Duggan again. And when the NWA took that over, I went to Pensacola. So I wrestled quite a bit long before I even became Hacksaw. And in Pensacola, I was Wild Man Duggan. But then I got the call from Bruiser Brody and Buck Roby to go to San Antonio, Joe Blanchard's territory in San Antonio. And that's when I became Hacksaw.
That's when you became Hacksaw?
Yeah,
so
San Antonio.
So basically you started out with Fritz Von Erich and made a whole loop and came back to Texas.
Yeah. I went from Dallas to New York to Hawaii to Georgia to Pensacola to San Antonio. And then from San Antonio, where I was a heel pretty much the whole time, I went to Mid-South. And Mid-South is where I got my break, turned babyface, and really established Hacksaw.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Now, how long did you wrestle down in Mid-South?
Well, close to 5 years, yeah. I had a nice run down there because, you know, the first WrestleMania, Junkyard Dog left and came up to WrestleMania 1. And then WrestleMania 2 came up, and Jake the Snake, he went up to WrestleMania 2. And Jake was the head usher in my wedding. Jake and I are very good friends. And Jake called me and said, "Hey, you better get up here." So I went up for WrestleMania 3. Everybody was leaving Mid-South, you know, and I was up there for 3, and DiBiase's like, "Well, I can't go up to New York, you know, Junkyard Dog, Jake the Snake Roberts, Hacksaw Duggan, you know, I'm Ted DiBiase, no real gimmick." But of course, the rest of the story is Teddy came up, got the best gimmick of everybody, the $1 Million Man, and got to live the life.
Right, yeah, he did have one of the greatest gimmicks out of all you guys.
Yeah, and of course that was a different character than his character in Mid-South.
Now tell me, Vince McMahon Jr. comparison to Vince Sr. How are they different? Are they different?
Well, I had very little interaction with Vince Sr. And really, I never had much interaction with Vince Jr. besides the TV shows and stuff.
Okay.
Like, I'd never been to Vince's house, you know, and I'd never been to Bill Watts' house. I was never an office guy. I'm not one of the guys that, you know, hang around the office and buddy-buddy with the boss and everything. He's my boss. I do my job. I go home. So, I have, you know, just business-wise, you know, but I'll say something about Vince McMahon. You know, I just recently did a show with a young guy in a talk show, and he was like, "Well, you know, that WWE... he treated us like pieces of meat." And I looked at the kid and I'm like, "Well, son, what the hell you think you are? You know, you want a friend, go buy a puppy. Welcome to the real world." You know, Vince is your boss. He's not, you know, your friend. He's your boss. You'll work for him. And as long as you do a good job, he'll pay you and you do well. And sometime along your career, there's a flushing sound. Happens to everybody, except the taker.
Right, I would think so too. So you was up at how long now? How long did you? So that was WWF at the time, right?
Yeah, I came in. I'm not sure exactly how long I was with the WWF. I went to WCW with Hulkster. You know, back in the day, you're either in Flair's group or Hogan's group. I'm a Hogan guy. I've been Hogan's buddy for years. I've known him for 30 years. I opened up a gym in Florida. You know, for my grand opening, I had Macho, Beefcake, Hulkster, and the Nasty Boys come to my grand opening for nothing.
Wow.
On a day off, which was, you know, nobody had days off back then. So all very good friends. But then we made the move to WCW, and I was down there until the end of WCW. And then I came back, and I was under a talent contract with WWE. So in WWF, I wrestled Orton, DiBiase, and Dusty. in WWE. I wrestled Dusty's kid, Orton's kid, and DiBiase's kid. I said I beat up the old man, then I beat up the kid.
Wow. So your career has spanned decades and different generations. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been a nice career. I've enjoyed it. I've been appreciative of what I've been able to do and appreciative of the fans. And that's why I enjoy doing the indies, enjoy doing the Comic-Cons, and definitely enjoy doing these stand-up shows. You get out and you interact with the folks, you get to meet them, you get to talk to them. Because, you know, sometimes you'd be there and this big, tough, hard man will come up with rough hands and they'll give you a big, firm handshake and in the eye, they're like, you know, Hacksaw Duggan, you know, me and my dad, we used to watch, and he starts to tear up talking about his dad and his family with Papa's past or something. I mean, it's humbling sometimes to get out there and meet the folks. So I enjoy getting out there,
right,
telling stories, signing autographs, taking pictures, and having fun.
Yeah, I know. I got many memories of watching different matches with my family and That was the era of pro wrestling. That was, to me, that was when it went from the old era to, like, more of, I don't want to say sports entertainment, but that's when it went to that direction where it became something. And it went, it wasn't just national, it went worldwide then.
Yeah, that was the definite golden age of wrestling. You know, it's, I tell folks it was kind of like Hollywood with John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart. You know, our era, Hogan, Macho, that whole group, Junkyard Dog, people just tend to remember that era, and it was great to be a part of it. Of course, a lot of folks are critical of the product nowadays. Like, you know, there's going to be 100,000 people at WrestleMania, so somebody's watching the show.
Right. So no matter what you do, someone's going to complain if you do it perfect. So.
Well, and I tell you, that WrestleMania, for the folks who've never been, it's quite an experience. I mean, especially if you're able to do the fan access that goes on the days before the show with autograph sessions and seminars and wrestling matches and interviews. I mean, that's a fun-filled deal in itself. And then, of course, the Hall of Fame ceremony, which is always great. I love that. So does my family. My two daughters get to dress up and come down the red carpet with me. It's a whole family affair. We really enjoy it. And, of course, WrestleMania itself. It'll be hard to follow last year's WrestleMania in California. It was super. But this one, they're looking for 100,000-plus. Of course, I was part of WrestleMania 3 where we had the 93,000. So I'm not sure if I'm pulling for that 100,000 or not.
So out of all, definitely the different eras of wrestling that you've wrestled in, the 80s, I would say, was definitely the most important era to me. It touched, so today, I mean, you go to WWE Network, and that's what I look for the most. I mean, they're putting on the Middle Atlantic.
The Legend House reality show that we did, you know, with me and Piper and Tony and Howard and Gene and Finkel. It was people like that and gave the folks a different side. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, I didn't really like you in wrestling, but I enjoyed you on Legend House. It gave people a different look at us and see that, you know, that we all, you know, have lives and are just regular folks and like to have fun. And, of course, me and Piper, God bless them, of course, like millions of folks out there, broke my heart with this past. We became extremely close over that 5 weeks. We were roommates for 5 weeks. The fans called it the bromance.
Right.
We had a good time and got to know each other. Our families became friends, and we were all shocked with his passing, to say the least.
Great, great. Big Country, you still on the line with me, brother? That's my co-host.
Of course,
Big
I'm
Country.
Here, man.
Okay,
hey, Country.
Okay.
Hey. Mr. Duggan, I just want to say thank you for coming on the show. I know, you know, I'm probably somebody that you don't remember, but I've been in the ring with you about 3 or 4 times, and I just want to say it was an honor.
We were down there in Orangeburg together, weren't we?
Yeah, we were also down in Camden in front of 2,000 people.
Yeah, they had that
show
in Camden.
Yeah, that was right before you had your shoulder surgery.
Yeah, that's still screwing up, but that's another story. So good, man. Well, good to see you guys got this podcast going, and hopefully we can see a few more listeners, and hopefully get me a few more folks at the TexarShow.com.
If people don't go to your show, they're an idiot. I mean, you've done what you've done in your career, and now you're trying to give back to everybody. You know, everybody needs to go and support it because, you know, there's a lot of guys that aren't trying to give back anymore.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be a fun night for folks, and I'll enjoy it because I just turned 62 here on last week on the 14th. So I know my ring days, I'll get in the ring this coming weekend, but I know that window's closing quickly. I was trying to find something where I can still get out and get with the folks, and this looks like it may be the next vehicle. But before I go, guys, you know what we got to do? Big Country, go and do it together, guys, and if you're going to hole like you mean it. That's a pretty good hole. I'll see you guys later. Take care, fellas.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you now.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye. That was phenomenal. That was phenomenal. We got a caller on the line, 760 area code. Are you still here, caller?
Yes, I'm here. This is Killer Callie and Kirby. Out in California, we'd like to say what up to you, Joey Nugs, and Big Country. You guys got a good show going on tonight.
Nice. We had WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. That's phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's going to be hard
cool.
to try to top this show. Hey, can you guys give us your
badass.
Best hoe? Can you guys give us your best hoe at the tribute to Hacksaw?
Ho!
That was a good hoe, guys. What a great way to end the show. Big Country, you got anything to say, brother?
Man, Joey, I mean, you know, how many people could say that, you know, that they just interviewed WWE Hall of Famer, you know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan? I mean,
right.
It's these things in life that make it worth doing, you know, 10 years of, you know, putting myself through what I put it through. You know, the fact that, you know, Hacksaw remembered who I was, you know, that's awesome. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, and if he didn't really know who you were, he would have told you, I don't quite remember who you are, buddy, because he's one of those straight shooter types. He shoots from the hip.
So, well, that's funny, you know, because every single time I work with the guy, he's always told me, my eyesight's a little off, so when I throw my punch, it's going to be stiff. Well, I don't care. Break my jaw if you want to. I'm getting punched by Hacksaw Jim Duggan, so.
There you go. So next week, we have AIWF Heavyweight Champion, former NWA National Champion, Damian Wayne coming into the studio, so that's going to be a great interview. And then after that, for the first weekend of February, for the first Tuesday, we're going to have Baby Doll coming in, Nicola Roberts, into the studio. So that's going to be phenomenal. I have a great interview with her. So, and I've got a lot more, but I'll keep those under wraps. I've got some more WWE. I'm in negotiations with the Boogeyman from the WWE, the guy that eats all the worms and scares all the children and gives you nightmares. Hopefully, I'll be able to get Chili Willy, ECW Chili Willy, living over in the Philippines. He's going to try to call in from the Philippines and tell me his life story. And I'm going to tell you, he's got one of them stories that you'll say, wow, when you hear it. He was a decorated two-time Purple Heart for over in Iraq. He was the real deal, Forrest Gump carrying people on his shoulder out of the war. So, I mean, he's a legit badass. And went to the Philippines to train in Muay Thai. And he's a legit badass, whoop-your-ass type of son of a bitch. So he'll be coming up here in the future, too. So we got some great shows coming up. So you guys out there listening on Blog Talk Radio, keep listening, keep subscribing, hit the subscribe button so you know when our show's coming up. Tell all your friends about our show. We'll be back here again next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. You guys be here too. Big Country, talk to us, brother.
Man, it's